Well, at any rate, welcome everybody. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming out. And I guess we got another blast of cold, you know, that negative temperature and a little bit of snow the other day. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't know that I like cold weather all that much, but that snow was beautiful the other day. Kat and I was hanging out and looking out the window, and I'll be honest, the big flakes, those are my favorite. I love the big flakes. I could sit and look at the big flakes all day long, and they were just falling out there. So we videotaped it. Yeah, we're those kinds of folks, and you know, Southern people get excited about that kind of stuff. And believe it or not, I texted it to my dad, and I texted it to some friends of mine just so that they could see what, you know, real winter's like, because I think it's like 60 degrees where they're at. No, don't be jealous. The snow was beautiful. Well, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. If you want to go ahead and start turning there in the Pew Bible, it's page 983. And we're going to continue our study of Colossians. Now, you know, I'm just going to caution you right now. We do have quite a bit going on. We're gonna stop and reflect in just a little while on the Lord and communion and all of that. And we always preach about and teach about Jesus, but today I'm pretty excited. I'll try not to go too long, but it's gonna be all about Jesus today. You know, we're gonna really talk about who he is, and it's not gonna be an exhaustive study because there's no way to exhaust the subject of Jesus. But it is gonna be pretty in depth. I am gonna go through a lot more scripture than I would normally go through. Don't worry, if you don't get it down in your notes and all of that, and you want some scripture references, just shoot me an email or whatever, and I'll send you a list. But you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us that Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for instructing, training, reproof. I mean, it is the source. I mean, this, you know, in our statement of faith declares that the Scriptures is the supreme authority. So if I'm going to teach you about Jesus, I want to make sure I go to the source, so that you hear what Scripture has to say about it. Now, we're going to be sticking primarily in the New Testament, but if you go into a study, you'll see that Jesus is really talked about throughout the whole Old Testament. My prayer today is that as you get ready to go, and as we talk about this and go through this Scripture, is that you will be able to soak in just a little bit more of who Jesus is. You know, this idea of Christ, our Savior, you know, it's unbelievable who he is. And I don't think that we take nearly enough time in our culture to stop and ponder who he is. Because if we could just get just a glimpse of Jesus Christ and who he is, we would be overwhelmed and we would never look for anything other than him to base our life on. You remember what happened to Moses when he was like, hey, can I see you? And God's like, no, you can't really look at me because then you just kind of poof. But I'll put you in a rock, I'll hide you with my hand, and I'll let you see the after effects of my glory. And then he started glowing from that. We really aren't going to be able to do this justice, but let's try. Let's try to do that this morning. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you sent your son. Thank you that we have your word to learn more about who you are, who we are in you, and how we behave because of you. Father, thank you for this time. I lift up all of us, Father, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us into understanding. I pray that as I speak, that only your words would come through. Father, my goal is that you would be glorified this morning. I lift this all up in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so I want to read verses 15 through 17, and then we'll break it down and go from there. So, again, Pew Bible 983, if you haven't turned there yet, Colossians 1, starting in verse 15. He, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I could just probably stop right there, because what else is there? He created all things that you can see that you can't see. All dominions, all rulers. He holds all things together. This is pretty exciting stuff. You can get excited about this. It's all right. So there's a couple of things that I want to pick up and just move through. So the first part of this I want us to take a look at is in the first half of verse 15, where it says, He is the image of the invisible God. I want to explore that for just a moment, because I think there's some significance here that I just don't want you to miss. All right, so we're going to jump back for just a second into Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and I'll just read it to you. It says here, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, there's a couple of things here I want to pick out. First off, if you take a look at this, and what he's saying is that all human beings are equal. It doesn't matter of the gender, it doesn't matter of the race, it doesn't matter of the culture, it doesn't matter of the socioeconomical, or whether you're rich, poor, it doesn't make any difference. You were created in the image of God. Now that's pretty important. That's pretty important. Some of us can feel insignificant at times, or think that someone's better, or we might get mistreated, or somebody might get confused and think that they're all of that. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says that you were created in the image of God. That is good news. That is exciting stuff. But I want to draw a distinction for just a moment. Because in Colossians, Paul starts verse 15 with Jesus. He is the image of God. Now that is important. That is important. Whereas we were created in the image of God, Jesus is the image of God. You catch that? We were created in the image, but Jesus is the image. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, duh, Mark, why in the world would you bring that up? Well, for several reasons, but I'll just mention a couple. I have talked with people that completely discount the Bible as true because of Genesis 1:27. They took a look at that, and they look at all of the depravity of humanity that they see around them and some of the things that they've experienced, and they've seen how horrible some people can act and all that kind of stuff, and they say, well, there is no way that a human being was created in the image of God. There's no way. So they take that and completely dismiss the entire scripture based on that right there. That's sad. But see, we aren't the image of God. We were created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. And here's another reason why that's important. You know, as people that were created in the image of God, we are image bearers, okay? And when you look at image, when you think about that, then you've got to think about, what does that mean? If I'm going to be an image bearer of God, then what does that mean? Well, that means that I'm going to act like him. I'm going to order my words. I'm going to behave in a way that glorifies him. I'm going to pattern my life after what's important to him. And, you know, that would be kind of difficult if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and him coming down and being the physical manifestation of God. He is the image of God. So we are to imitate Christ. We are image bearers, and we use Jesus Christ and what he did as our standard for living. So when we're getting confused about, well, should I do this, or shouldn't I do this, or how do I do this? Well, we go and do a study of Jesus Christ, all right? Then that answers those questions for us. You know, if we're wondering if we should judge somebody or treat somebody really badly, then we remember when the girl was caught in adultery and Jesus could have stoned her to death. Instead, he showed her love and compassion. He didn't condone her sin, but neither did he condemn her either. I mean, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, right? I mean, this is really good stuff. You know, the other thing that's important for us to know, and I'm gonna quote Dr. Michael Hauser, because he puts it a little bit better than I. He was one of my Old Testament professors in seminary. And, you know, actually, I want to do a couple of other things first. Let me come back to that. You know, when you think about, you know, this image of God and this image of Christ, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, because I want to make this clear. This is what the Hebrews say in chapter 1, verse 3. He, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Okay? I'm going to read that again. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So why would we want to be image bearers of Christ? Why would we want to follow in his footsteps? Why would we want to imitate him? Because he is the exact imprint of God. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is what we can look to. He is what makes this inconceivable concept of who God is, because if you try to think of who he is, it could kind of blow your mind. But if you read and study about Jesus Christ, it makes it available and accessible to us. Another verse in Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul tells us that we're to be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And what that means is that, you know, we were all, Adam being the first man, we all have borne this image, this physical image of man. But we're also supposed to bear the image of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to conform to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now, I want you to notice something. If you have trusted in Christ, all right, he has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed to the image of his son. And now I want to give you this quote by Michael Heiser. He writes, this language is a call to act as Jesus would, to live like him. Acting like Jesus points to the functional idea of the image of God. It suggests we think of the image of God as a verbal idea. By imaging God, we work, serve, and behave the way God would if he were physically present in the world. In Jesus, God was physically present. Thus, we are to imitate or image Christ. So I could go into more detail and application, but we're going to get into that later in Colossians. So I'm going to move to the second part of verse 15. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. And I want to take a look at this, and you can see that it says the firstborn of all creation. Speaking of Jesus, he is the firstborn of all creation. Now, there is some heresy out there that started before the 4th century by a guy named Arius. And he denied the deity of Christ. In fact, we're going to talk about this for a minute because you can't miss this part. All right? You can't miss this part. Arius, and you might have heard of it as Arianism or the Arian heresy. He claimed that Jesus Christ wasn't God, that he was a created being. Okay? He was a created being. Now, if you just read the rest of Colossians chapter 1, he'd see that that would be impossible. But let me tell you how hard of a hold that this has taken on. Even today, we have people that are saying that and claiming that. Main religions now, Mormonism, as just one example, claim that he's created and not God. All right? Cults. Every single one of them are going to try to deny the deity of Christ because their truth is going to have to come through a man. So they have to assassinate the concept of Jesus' deity in order for that to fly. So whenever you hear anybody telling you that Jesus isn't God, flags should go up right away. Flags should go up right away. And when they point to something and take it out of context, which is called proof texting, by the way, when you take one little thing out of a text and try to make it anything you want to, they're not taking the whole sum of God as truth. They're not using context to help understand what it is that's going on. They may take something like this and say, well, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Well, we know that Jesus came on the scene well after other people, right? So what does that mean? Now, we could get into this more and more, but I don't want to belabor it too much. But this is important for us to understand. When Paul wrote this idea of firstborn of creation, okay, he wasn't talking about something that had a time significance. Like, in other words, if anybody here the firstborn in their family? Anybody? I was. Okay, so that would have a time significance. But in this culture, the significance that really mattered was the privilege. The significance was the authority that the firstborn have, all of those kinds of things. So when Paul is saying that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation, that means he is above all creation. His authority is above all. He's supreme. And I'm not going to get into too much of that because Tom's going to teach on that here in just a week or so. So I'm going to let that go and let you teach more about the preeminence there, Tom. So you get what I'm saying here, that when you read this, that the firstborn of all creation, he's not denying the deity of Christ. He's affirming who Christ is. Let's keep going. So we've got Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to read these together, and we're going to explore these together. So 16, for by him all things were created in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, you know what, when you take a look at this and you're bringing in this context, you can see that Jesus is the one who created everything. God the Father initiated it, but Jesus Christ is the one that made it happen. All right? That's what this means. Jesus Christ. Now this is important because this is the person to whom you are going to be pledging your allegiance to. This is the person to whom you want to be a disciple of. This is the person that you want to trust in all of the different things that goes on in your life. All the ups and downs of life. All of the uncertainty of life. You know, if I'm going to trust myself to anybody, I want it to be the person that created everything and that holds everything together. In all of the chaos, he holds these things together. William Barclay wrote it like this. This means not only that the Son is the agent of creation in the beginning and the goal of creation in the end, but also between the beginning and the end, during time as we know it, it is he who holds the world together. That is to say, all the laws which govern and sustain order and not chaos in the universe are an expression of the mind of the Son. Speaking of Jesus. The law of gravity and the rest, the laws of which by which the universe hangs together, are not only scientific laws, but also divine. So it's not just in our own little world that God is holding things together. When you look into the heavens and you see all of those stars, and you realize that if we were just a fraction closer to the sun, we'd fry in a minute. Or if we were just a fraction away from the sun, we would freeze and there would be no existence. When you think about how perfectly suited our atmosphere and our oxygen and all of that kind of stuff is just for us to be able to respirate and breathe and live. When you think about all of the stuff that goes on, the rain, the gravity, everything. All of the things that we are completely and utterly dependent on. 100%. Try breathing without the air God provided. I may sound funny, but it's true. What would happen if there was no gravity? What happens if there was too much gravity? Jesus holds all of this together. Now, who better to trust your life to than Jesus Christ? Who better to go into chaos with than Jesus Christ? You know, if you've got chaos in your life and things are out of control, guess what? For you, things are out of control. So it doesn't make any sense, does it, when I and us go to ourselves to kind of try to control everything or default to ourselves instead of remembering who Jesus Christ is, the one through whom all things were created. They were created for him. They were created by him, and he holds all things together. That is fantastic, isn't it? That is fantastic. So I'm going to ask the team to come up right now. I'm going to do things just a little bit different as we get ready to do communion. You know, we've taught and Mark has taught that there's really two kinds of knowledge in the Greek New Testament, and it's called gnosis and epignosis. And gnosis is this academic, very academic head knowledge, and epignosis is more relational knowledge. Mark mentioned it like this when he taught. Mark Pavel mentioned it like this. He said, you know, I have gnosis, or I know of Mother Teresa, but I know I have epignosis, my mom. This morning, I have given us an enormous amount of academic knowledge, and I'm going to give you some more here in just a moment, because I don't want you to leave here with having just a better glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. Because I don't want you to leave here not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't made that choice. I don't want you to leave here suffering without knowing who Jesus Christ is. I don't want you to know anything else but Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the deity of Christ. And we're going to go through 11 different scriptures. I'll go fast, I promise. We'll go fast. If you need to get these notes, just ask me. But this is important. And again, this isn't exhaustive. We would be here forever because it would be forever. So I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the beginning and the end. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Who of you would like to have a little consistency in your life that you can never, ever have to worry about? Jesus Christ is unchanging. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus is self-existent. He doesn't need anything. He is life. What about this Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. Yes. I'm just getting started. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy and the Son of God. He is holy and the Son of God. What about this Jesus? Why would we want anything less? John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't let anybody tell you there's another way, because there's not. Don't let anybody tell you that there's another truth, because there's not. Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Again, who else would you want to go to? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. You getting the idea? I'm not done. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. He is our sanctifier. You want to change? Be washed with the water of the word, and Jesus Christ is that agent that will cause you to change. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Do you want the Spirit of truth living in you? Trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Do you want to feel secure in this world and beyond? Trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Remember what Paul told us in Ephesians, that it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift. Nothing you have ever done was so bad that Jesus Christ can't reach down into that pit and pull you out. There's nothing that you could do that's so good that would make you worthy. You are worthy because of the love of Christ. It is a gift. All you have to do is receive that gift. And no one will snatch you out of his hand. No one. That's the word of God. So here's where we do things just a little bit different. I'm all excited. I'm just going to be honest. I'm excited. I threw a lot at you, all right? I want us to take a moment. I asked the team to play a song, and I want y'all to sing. I want y'all to stand up. I want you to stand up for just a moment. I want this to kind of settle into your minds. We're going to sing this song, all right, together. Then I'm going to come back up here, and then we're going to transition into time of communion. During this time, just start thinking on him. Start being with him. Start considering your own circumstance. Do you know this wonderful Christ that I've been describing? Have you walked away and need to come back closer to him? Start those reflections as we sing about the name of Christ. Wow. Wow. Well, if you can, sit down. Oh, man. Whew. You know, as we get ready to go into communion now, I'm just going to read something to you, and then we're just going to take a minute. And everybody is welcome to join us. We don't care if you're a member or not. There is one request that I would make. If you haven't trusted in Christ and what he did for you on the cross, I would ask that you abstain during this time. Stay in here with us. You're welcome, but this is a very sacred time. This is a time when we reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross. So if you would just respectfully just hold that if you haven't trusted in Christ while we do that. Jesus Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We're going to take just a minute, then Tom's going to come up and lead us in communion. David, if you wouldn't mind just playing a little bit. Thank you.